Well, I will say Shabbat Shalom as always.
We're Shabbat
Shalom. Thank you. Appreciate it. As always, I pray God would hide me behind His Word this morning as we finish our series here on the Sabbath, the final installment here. Kind of cheating that I've called it 7B. but we're here. And we've come through this series thus far, and we have kind of addressed non-biblical philosophical arguments. We've addressed some biblical arguments. We have addressed time and just about, I think, hopefully, every major construct that comes that Satan has devised against God's holy Sabbath. And so we find ourselves at the end of this basically faced with an inescapable biblical instruction. An instruction given by our Creator to keep this appointed time holy. Holy. So I want to end this series with some comments about what does that mean? What does it mean to keep it holy? Why is it important to God? Is it, you know, where does the Sabbath stand in God's mind and what He Himself is trying to accomplish with it in us, through us, as we observe it? What is the Creator trying to achieve? Why did He give us this command? Why is it there? The Bible reveals that it's meant to be a tremendous blessing. A blessing. And I put to you that that is God's desire. That is His heart inside the Sabbath. It was made for man. We've covered this, not just for Jews. What it's made for man, and it's made to be a blessing, because God knows in His infinite wisdom how very much we need it. This physical life is merely a precursor to the ultimate life that He has in store for us. And He knows if just left to ourselves, we would be continually focused on this physical world. And He knows that for our eternal spiritual benefit and health, that we must, it is critical that we shift our focus on cyclically off of this physical life and our needs and focus on our spiritual needs. And so He knows that unless He commands it, probably won't happen. And how many of you know that He's right? I do. I think everyone in here can relate to that fact. Because even when we acknowledge the command, we still struggle to do it. We struggle to let go of what we want. What we want to do. We struggle to let go of thinking about what we want to think about. It's one of the biggest struggles in the Sabbath, is just to stop thinking about all the stuff that we need to do to get our minds off of ourselves and our world and just sit at the feet of God and commune with Him. That's His desire. You know, and obviously I've never lived in any other time but the time that I live in now. And I can't compare to experience. But I just think, as I look at our society and our world right now, and the phones and the gadgets and the streaming everything and just the continual onslaught of everything, I can't imagine that there's ever been a more important time to unplug seriously from this world. And I think it's ironic, is it not, that seems like this is the greatest time that we need the Sabbath, that this is the time that a lot of people say, well, it's done away. That's just old. It's not. That's just old stuff. We've seen that it's not. We've talked about that already. It was for our ancestors. This was from the beginning of man, and it's for the future. We're not in some sort of weird time out for the Sabbath. You know, and one of the big scriptures about that, Matthew 24, pray that your flight might not be in the winter or on the Sabbath. You know, when Yeshua said these words, God in the flesh, who is he talking to? He was talking to believers. You know, people try to get rid of this scripture by saying, well, he's just talking to the Jews. Nah. He might have been, a lot of the believers were Jews. But he was talking to believers, his followers. And he said to his followers, when he comes, pray it's not on Sabbath. Now, why would he say that if the Sabbath wasn't there at the time? That it would be, in place at his return. It's his yet future. And he was talking about his second coming. And don't tell me that it's already happened. I've yet to see the sky fold back like a scroll. I don't think we'd have missed that. Might have caught Fox News. I don't know. I haven't seen it yet. Maybe not. I know the Mount of Olives hasn't split in two. It's still there. You were just there. Was it in two pieces? So yeah, you know, the Sabbath is for us. It's for today and it's for the future. And I maintain that we need it now more than ever in this society. It's important to God. It's important to Him. And He is serious about it. And I want to reflect on what He has said here. Exodus 35, He says that work should be done for 6 days, but the seventh day shall be a holy day for you, a Sabbath of rest to the Lord. And He makes this statement, whoever does any work on it shall be put to death. The Bible says that the penalty for Sabbath breaking is death. Now, does that seem harsh? You know, I mean, it is part of the law that God said there's no jots or tittles have passed from. That sin is the transgression of the law, the wages of sin is death. So, you know, that's doctrine. And we get it. It's truth. God means it. Because look what happened here in Numbers. He says, now while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering sticks on the Sabbath day. And so, as the Lord commanded Moses, all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him with stones, and he died. See, we find a similar immediate sentence for the Israelites, death, that is also prescribed for someone committing adultery and murder. Have you ever stopped to realize that God placed the very same discipline, physical discipline, onto Israel for Sabbath breaking as He did murder? And somehow, some way, we tend to discount this. We kind of just water it down and put it out of our minds. And, you know, I'm not sure why. It's human nature, I guess. Now, I'm guilty. Maybe because it just seems too harsh to be real. Or maybe it's the fact that, you know, we do understand God's mercy, His grace, His loving care for us. What is man that you are mindful of him, I read this morning. The caring character that's hard for us to wrap our minds around things like this and reconcile it to his character. But as difficult as that might be, it does not diminish the message that God put forth here about how serious he is about his Sabbath. You see, there is an eternal reason why. And this is a little, I'm interjecting this. This is a little plug for this next couple of messages. Someone asked me a while back, do you think that the Sabbath will be kept after the millennium. I'm going to tell you yes. And I'm going to explain to you in the next couple of weeks why that is. Because there is an eternal reason that connects directly to why you were created in the first place, that is the reason why we need the Sabbath. And we will. Many times when I catch myself trying to compromise or justify myself on things about the Sabbath that I think about, I think about this example. And it puts things in perspective. And then what I do then is get thankful. Thankful that God's grace and His mercy and the work of Yeshua on that stake allows me to turn from that and have life so that I can make a better decision and walk forward. You know, we can have the grace and the mercy to turn and not have to suffer this immediate consequence or even eventual consequence and just move on. That grace doesn't allow me to just continue with my bad decision. It allows me to continue to live so I can make a better one, right? That's what grace is. It's no different than any other sin. And so I think it's extremely important for anyone to really take the time and ponder and pray about the inescapable fact that the Sabbath is a command. There's no missing jots or tittles. It's a command from your Creator. And He's the one that gives you life. He's the one that has the ability, actually the right, the responsibility actually, to take that life away if it will not be lived in accordance with how He deems it to be lived in order for Him to create the perfect, holy, and righteous nation and kingdom that is His will. And I think if you take that time, you'll get a bigger perspective on how vital this is. Fact is, without the Sabbath, you might as well be dead. So what do I mean by that? Well, real life comes from being attached to the vine. Right? Now I'm going to expand on this. I'm just filled, I guess, with what I've been working on. I mean, listen, you can't continue to exist without Him. And I'm talking even on a cellular level, on every, even beyond the cell. You cannot live without the Father. And this time that He has set apart is the time that He has designated. You can argue, you can philosophize all you want. You go, God, Scott, you can worship God all the time. I know that. But the Bible and God in His Word has revealed that this time He has set apart and He has said, come and drink of Me. Come and be attached to this vine. Come and be renewed in the power that sustains you. And if you disconnect yourself from that, you will not live. Because the source of light is our great and eternal and loving Father. He is both the originator of our lives and the redeemer from the subsequent death that we have deserved, that we have earned. And that realization is something that ties directly to the Sabbath. The fact that He is Creator and He's also Redeemer is all wrapped up in the Sabbath. Have you ever noted how the command that was given It's been given two times in the Ten Commandments, in Deuteronomy and in Exodus. And each time, it reveals who He is. It reveals what He's doing and your absolute dependency on Him. Here we have those two places where the Ten Commandments are recorded. Now, we've read the command before. I'm not going to read it again today. We know that we're to work 6 days and rest on the seventh. The two are basically identical until you get to verse 11 in Exodus and verse 15 in Deuteronomy. And in both places, the command is given, and then this basic reason, if you will, or perspective is given as to why you should remember to observe them. In Exodus, He refers to the fact that He's Creator. It says, "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth. He made the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore, the Lord blessed the seventh day, the Sabbath day, and hallowed it." He's saying He's your Creator. Own that. He is your Creator. After all, are you not one of the things that is on the earth that He created? So you owe your life to who? To your Creator. You are a creation. You owe your life to your Creator. The fact is, all of the time that you have, He gave to you. You owe that to Him. You have your life and your being because of Him. Does it seem out of place? Is it just too much to ask for God to say, "Hey, out of all the time that I've given you, I want you to take 1/7 of it, and I reserve it for myself"? We move to Deuteronomy, and here it says, "And remember that you were a slave in the land of Egypt, and the Lord your God brought you out from there by a mighty hand and by an outstretched arm. Therefore the Lord your God commanded you to keep the Sabbath day." See, they were in bondage in Egypt, right? Throughout the Bible, Egypt is a metaphor for the bondage of sin. The wages of sin is what? Death. But it's God, see, that delivered them out of that. God alone. They didn't do it. And it's God alone that delivers you out of death, that redeems you from that death penalty for all sin. And without that redemption, you're already dead. Which, again, makes it understandable why God said that the penalty for breaking the Sabbath is death. Because it's true. At the end of the day, again, if you're not attached to the vine, if you're not created by God and accept that reality that He's Lord, if you are not redeemed by Him from death, from the penalty of sin, you are dead. So it stands to reason. See, the Sabbath command in our Bibles reveals that God is both Creator and Redeemer. It reminds us that without Him, we have no life. Because without the Redeemer, we're dead anyway. As you really wrap your mind around the meaning of the Sabbath, the purpose of the Sabbath, and the importance of the Sabbath to God and to your relationship with Him, it is no wonder that Satan has put so much work, so much effort in deceiving people about it. Satan does not want us spending time with God. He does not want us drawing from the root and the core of the tree. God desires that connection so much that He commanded it from the very beginning. Do you understand that? Before Adam and Eve fell. We're going to get to that in a couple weeks. Before they fell, they were keeping the Sabbath. Why? Because they still needed it then for the purpose that He created them for. I'm giving you hints. It's coming. God created time, and He gives each and every one of us a certain amount of it. As the giver of time, he has the right to reserve some of it for himself. It belongs to him. It's his time. It's not your time. And the cool thing is, it reveals how great your God is and how loving he is. Even though he reserves that time for himself, the reason he reserved it for himself is so he could bless you. So that he could fill you. So that he could energize you. So that he could love on you. And so when you truly give it to him, there are tremendous blessings that come with that. He sets you apart and he reveals to you what he is doing. Guys, I'm going to read you a scripture and we're going to spend some time in it this morning. And you've read it before. But I'm going to implore you, to not read over it. To not just gloss over it because you've read it before. I'm going to ask you in your quiet time this week that you would take this scripture and that you would sit down with it, or that you would kneel down with it, and you would ask God to speak to your heart, to speak to your mind, to help you really grasp the message that he is trying to give us here. You can spend the rest of your life probably trying to realize the full potential and impact of what God has here. He says, "Speak also to the children of Israel, saying, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. For it's a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you." This is God speaking. Okay? This is God. And I want to step through this with you. I want you to notice first that it says that he's speaking to the children of Israel. And that's you and me, the Word of God. We've covered this before, and this is why it's so important for you to understand who the children of Israel are. Okay? Because the children of Israel are everyone who is either of that tree or grafted in. It is the nation. And when you are in covenant with God, you are part of that nation. You are, and the nation is called Israel. You are a child of Israel. So take ownership here. He's talking to you. Whether you have Israelite DNA flowing through your flowing through your blood or not, does not matter. Okay? He's talking to you. Not my opinion. Check this out. Thus says the Lord, Isaiah 56. Keep justice and do righteousness, for my salvation is about to come and my righteousness to be revealed. This is future. This is a prophecy. Blessed is the man who does this, and the son of man who lays hold on it, who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and keeps his hand from doing any evil. And who's he talking to? Just the Jews? No, he's talking to the children of Israel again, because he says, do not let the son of the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord, in other words, been grafted in, saying the Lord has utterly separated me from the people. No, he's not. Nor let the eunuch say, here I am, a dry tree. For thus says the Lord to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths and who chooses what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, even to them I will give in my house and within my walls a place and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And also the sons of the foreigner who joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, everyone who keeps from defiling the Sabbath and holds fast my covenant, even them I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices will be accepted on my altar. For my house shall be called a house of prayer for all nations. When he says children of Israel, he's talking to anyone who will honor his Sabbath and hold fast his covenant and become part of his nation. And so establish who he's talking to. Look what he says to us. He says, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. He repeats the command and he says, surely, definitely, keep my Sabbaths. And notice that claim that he makes on them. He says, surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. And that is possessive in the Hebrew. He is possessing them. God has taken this time and he has reserved it for himself. The Sabbaths, he said, are set apart and they belong to him. Guys, when you are engaged in these, you are entering into a space of time that's not your own. Now, if you let that slip by you, you're missing it. God has reserved a space of time, literally, a sort of dimension. Now, I don't want to be all New Agey here, but it's not, because it's revealed here. And you are entering this space of time that God says is special to him. I urge you to circle back in this in your quiet time. Let your mind run with that in prayer. Time. It's a dimension of sorts, isn't it? What's it mean to step into a dimension of time that is reserved by God for the express purpose of blessing you? There is something deeply powerful about this that, I'm sorry guys, I can't put into words. These are things that the Spirit has to talk to you in your heart. And I guarantee you that it is power that Satan does not want you to tap into. He does not want you to understand it. And he will do what he can do to keep you away from it. We have shown in all the messages previous to this that Sabbath observance, when you just look at the Bible alone, it could not be a clearer command and doctrine. Yet we look around and what do we see? We see the tremendous amount of effort that Satan has put in to hide this. And then my heart just breaks a little bit. And I have to repent and I have to think about this, because even when people acknowledge his Sabbath and they say, okay, and Satan kind of loses on that. And okay, now I got somebody that's acknowledged it. You know what he does? He redoubles his effort. And if you haven't experienced that, I know you have. Okay? He expends double the effort to distract us from acknowledging the Sabbath and realizing the full potential of really engaging in it. And we should let that sink in too. Because I know myself personally, and probably I don't want to speak for anybody else, but probably everybody else in this room is affected by that on one level or another. Because every time the Sabbath comes, they are there, the minions that are sent out, they are sent out with an edict from Satan the devil to distract us with anything that they can. He doesn't care what it is. He doesn't care. Anything will do. You know, we've been going through sometimes the screw tape letters, and I think about, you know, maybe writing another page for that, where, you know, screw tape is telling his uncle screw tape is telling him, well, look, it don't matter what you distract him with. It don't matter. Just roll with it. Whatever comes out, just roll with it. Don't matter. Just Just fill their minds with whatever they will allow to be filled with, just as long as it's not God, and not, just don't allow their mind to rest. Distract them with anything. And I'm going to tell you that that onslaught of the enemy is probably stronger than the onslaught of the enemy to keep you from acknowledging the Sabbath in the first place. We have to understand that this is a deep, deep truth and thing from God, and that we are in a battle with it. The point here is that the Sabbath belongs to God, and that time is His, and He claims it. And lovingly, He claims it for our benefit. And our adversary knows how powerful that benefit is. And I think that we can discover on deeper and deeper levels how powerful it is when we really engage. And that worries our adversary. We see also in this little section here that I've got highlighted that Sabbaths is plural. It is plural in the Hebrew. It's meant to be plural. And it's because Yehovah is not just referring to the weekly Sabbath. He's referring to all the Sabbaths that He sets apart, and He claims and says, "These are my Sabbaths," in Leviticus 23. And we'll see the impact of that in a minute. But first, let's look at this next part. What's He say? "For it is a sign between me and you." The Sabbaths, plural, are a sign. Covered this a little bit in the series. Of God and those that keep the Sabbaths. Now, this is maybe a trivial point, but notice that the sign comes after the command to keep the Sabbath. Okay, it's elementary, yes. But nonetheless, a very important point. There is an implied if here. If you keep the Sabbath, then you have the sign. Now, we're going to close today's message with another scripture that is a definite, it says, if and then. Here it's implied. The word for sign here in the Hebrew literally means a distinguishing mark. Remember when Cain killed Abel and God put a mark on him so that no one would come and kill him? Same word. It's the same word. It's a mark. It's something that distinguishes people with the mark from people without the mark. That's what the word means. It's a banner, a sign, a mark. Now, as we look at what God is saying here, the mark is a sign of who? It says it's between Him, Yehovah, and you. Now, that you is the children of Israel. That's why it's so important we understand who they are, who we are, right? The Sabbath is a mark, a sign, a distinguishing feature of the children of Israel. That's also referred in your Bibles as what? The kingdom of God. It's a distinguishing sign or mark of the kingdom of God. We are talking here about a deep mystery that Satan does not want people to know or realize.
True.
Yes. And that knowledge only comes after keeping the Sabbath and having the sign. You got to step out in order to get the sign and then understand it. And that's the fulfillment of the last part of the verse that we'll get to in a minute. Satan desires, at the end of this age, it says that there's a mark of the beast. See, Satan desires that people have his mark, his distinguishing mark, his people. The Sabbath, not according to Scott Robinson, okay? According to your Bible, my Bible, God Almighty, is the Sabbath. And so again, We have to stay on our knees and we have to pray through these words of God. I struggle to put into words. I did for a week trying to figure out how to put into words I'm trying to get across today, because there is so much depth, so much power here. How long is this sign or mark of the kingdoms of the kingdom to be? It says it's throughout his generation, throughout your generations. You are a generation of the children of Israel. Now see, people will look at that and say, well, it's just a few generations of just those people, those physical people, they've died out, this doesn't apply to you. No. The Hebrew word here is doe. Doe. Now, we've talked a lot about the fact that Hebrew words have a lot of meaning. They stack meaning, right, when you put these together. The basis of this word means prosperity. Literally, an age evermore. It's not limited. It's posterity that continues. An age evermore. The other thing that this word denotes is a class of people, a class of men, okay, within also a habitation or dwelling place. Now think about how that all adds up and how cool that is. I don't know. The deep meaning there is totally missed in the English. The people disregard this as just applying to some generations of Israelites and that's it. But when you understand doe, that what an Israelite is, a spiritual Israelite, a member of the eternal kingdom of God, then it gives expansive meaning to this, to the Hebrew here, that paints a whole different picture. A picture that is describing what Yehovah is telling us. That the mark or sign of the Sabbath is evermore, an age evermore to all posterity that come to a class of people that are citizens or members of the kingdom of God, habitating in the kingdom of God. See how that works? Doe means an age everlasting. It means a habitation. Right? It means a class of people. It's a lot of meaning wrapped up in that when it says throughout your generations. He's talking about the members of the kingdom of God as an age, in an age evermore for all posterity. Praise God. Doe is literally describing our eternal existence in the kingdom of Yehovah as our dwelling place in His midst. And the Sabbaths are a sign of that citizenship. If that's not enough, then we get to the next part. There's one of the most precious promises in all the Bible. And if you look in most promises books, you probably won't even find it there. And it's completely tied to the Sabbath command, that you may know that I am the Lord. Now that's a promise. He says, surely keep my Sabbaths that you may know. Remember, I showed you the two instances where the Ten Commandments were given. In Exodus, it told us that it was Creator. And in Deuteronomy, He said, it's because I'm your Redeemer. This first part here reminds us that He's Creator. That you may know Him as Lord, as Creator. See, both of those things are right here in the verse. This first part right here in yellow. To know that God is Lord and Creator. See, the fact that He's Creator is what gives Him absolute control and sovereignty over the creation. That is such a key thing. The beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. That is the beginning. If you don't recognize that you're a creation and that there is a creator that you owe everything to, you don't have a foundation at all to stand on. He's Lord, He's ruler, He's master, and He's the giver of life, and He can righteously remove it. No one can fully know God until that person has humbled themselves as a creation before their Creator. When we honor this time that the Creator has set aside, He says, then you may know Him. It's the beginning of knowledge. It's that humble reaction in response to His authority, to His time, that we may know Him. It's both an instruction and a promise. You want to know the Lord? This is not me talking. Lord God, hide me behind Your word, please. This is Jehovah talking. This is how He says to know Him. Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep. Do that, and you may know that He is Lord, the Creator over the creation, you and me. When you are drawing near to God during the time that He is set apart as His with the express intent of drawing near to you, then you can know Him. And He says, not me, that's what the time is for, so that you may know Him. And all I can say to you is my personal testimony. And I can say to you without any reservation that for many, many years, from the time as early as I had memory, I knew about God. He had instilled in me, and I think in the deep recesses of every person, that in our DNA there's a void where we know that there is a God. And I knew that there was a God. Yes, I knew about God for many, many years. And God revealed a lot of things about Him to me. And I appreciate that. But I did not begin to know Him until I started residing in His time. And yes, there's a difference between knowing about Him and knowing Him. As I was preparing this message for upload, I just wanted to pause here for a moment and clarify the current point that was being made. Each week after the message, we huddle up and have a time together to discuss what was presented. In our discussion this week, I learned that the way I was using the words to know about God versus really knowing God really wasn't very good, and it could be misconstrued to suggest that anyone that doesn't keep the Sabbath cannot know God at all, that they just know about Him, and that's not what I was trying to convey. Think in terms of degrees. I tried using the words about God to show the degree of difference of what it means to really know God. And while those words might not be the best choice for this point, there is still an overarching biblical principle, which is not just communicated here in Exodus 31, but also in other places. It's a promise from God that as we follow His ways and walk in better alignment with Him, our relationship with Him grows stronger. We know Him better. You can know someone, or you can know them. And God is telling us here that if we really want to know Him on this deep level, that we surely must keep His Sabbaths. There's a level there. One can have a relationship with God and still not know Him the way that God fully desires him to know Him. And this is easily understood even in our earthly relationships. We have all sorts of relationships with coworkers and insurance agents, merchants of all kinds, doctors, our dentist. In that sense, we don't just know about them. And that's why these words didn't work well. We don't just know about them. We interact with them. We, some even on a daily basis, like a coworker. However, in many types of those relationships, even the ones we on a daily basis, we can be in a situation where we really don't know that person the way that I'm trying to convey, not deeply. And I can't think of a more poignant, kind of scary, and biblical example of this than what Yeshua, God in the flesh, what he has said about this very concept. In Matthew 7, Yeshua stated in verse 21 that there are indeed people that call him Lord, that know about him, that call him Lord, that believe that they have a deep, intimate relationship with him. And he says that there are those that will call him Lord but will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And he says it's because they refuse to do what the Father has outlined. Indeed, as we see in verse 22, he elaborates about people that feel like they are in relationship with him. They feel like they know him, this deep knowing. After all, they call him Lord. They cast out demons in his name and they prophesy in his name, as it says. And yet Yeshua exclaims to them, "I never knew you." The relationship that they believed was there, at least for Yeshua, was not. And it was not there because those same individuals were, as Christ said, practicing lawlessness. And the Sabbath is part of the Ten Commandments, as we've seen. It's part of the law that Yeshua intends to write on our hearts in the New Covenant. So there are depths to this relationship that we are to seek with our Creator. The Bible is clear that to have the deep relationship where you know Him and He knows you, that you are to strive to obey Him, to walk with Him, to not practice sin. And he says, he says it, not me, right here, "Surely my Sabbaths you shall keep." Okay, let's get back to the message. There are so many things that are hidden in plain sight that do not know him. You don't know until you know him. There is ignorance, and it's not a bad thing. Everybody is on a path, and there are a lot of people out there that lovingly know about God, and that when his Sabbaths are revealed to them and they begin to come into his time as God reveals it to them, they will know him on a deeper level. "Before I entered into his time, I knew nothing about who an Israelite was. I had no understanding that the kingdom of God that is talked about in the Old Testament is really Israel, and that's his nation. I had no idea that what I was learning about heaven and hell was basically a fairy tale. I had no idea that without Yeshua indwelling within me that I had no life inherent. I thought I had eternal life, and everybody was telling me I just need to figure out where I'm going to spend it." There are mysteries that come that God reveals to himself in this promise, "Surely keep my Sabbaths and that you may know me." I still don't know him as much as I want to. But praise God, I believe with all my heart and soul that as I do a better job of dwelling in his time, that he will continue to be faithful in this promise. This journey that we are on is the second part of this promise, and it ties to how the Sabbath command was given to us in the Bible, that second part, which says, "Who sanctifies you?" Now, Everybody here knows I've taught you what sanctifies means. It means it's set apart for holy use, right? So as we look at what we've got so far, these few little words take on great meaning and picture a fantastic promise. See, he's speaking to the nation. Now, we've seen that. He's speaking to the family of God. He has set apart time for them to come and gather to him in a perpetual habitation, being the mark of that citizenship. He promises that by coming and dwelling in that habitation of time, that we can know him on a deeper level, that we can really know him, and we will be known by him. And so we can dwell and draw near to him. We saw that it means that we remember that he is creator. And now we see that he's redeemer. Well, Scott, where do you get that in this who sanctifies? Three words, who sanctifies you? What does that mean, he's your redeemer? Well, think about this with me for a minute. You see, if you're sanctified, if you are set apart for holy use, that means that he's promising to you to use you for his purpose. If you're sanctified, he's saying, I'm going to use you for my purpose. That's what sanctification means. Now stay with me. If you're going to be used by God, it stands to reason that you've got to know what God is doing. You have to be clued in on the plan, so to speak. Now, what is God doing? We read this book. And, you know, very, very early in the book, everything's good. Man is dwelling with God and keeping the Sabbath. He's dwelling there with him. And then, right away, in this, you know, right here, man falls. And then clear back here, you know, we get to the new heaven and the new earth and everything's good again. We actually get here back to where we started here. Everything else in the middle, I'm going to send off and have my Bible fixed. But everything else in the middle is about what? Everything. It's about redemption. Guys, that is what God is doing. He is redeeming his people. And so when God says in his promises that I'm going to set you apart, I'm going to let you know who I am, and I'm going to know you, and I'm going to sanctify you for my use, his purpose is redemption. And I submit to you that when you keep the Sabbaths, what are they revealing to you? The Passover, Days of Unleavened Bread, all of them. The Feast, Day of Atonement. What are they revealing to you? They're revealing to you his plan of redemption. So it's no wonder when he says that if you come in my Sabbath, you're going to know me. You're going to be sanctified to be able to understand what I'm doing and being a part of it as revealed by those Sabbaths that I'm saying to you, surely you shall keep. It just all weaves together. And it's just a wonderful, wonderful thing. And without it, people have no idea. They think the plan is to save people from him. You really realize that's really what it is? Hey, God's a torturer, and if you don't get this redemption, he's going to torture you forever. That you need to be saved from him. No. If they really knew God as revealed by these Sabbaths that he tells us to honor, they'd know he's not a torturer. They'd know what He is doing, and they would be sanctified, set apart to help deliver that message to the rest of His creation, be part of that redemptive plan. When God tells us to remember the Sabbath, He's telling us two very important things. He's telling us to remember that He's Creator, and He's telling us to remember that He's Redeemer, and He's revealing to us what it is, how He's going to do that redemption, and He's saying, I'm sanctifying, I'm letting you know Me, I'm letting you know what I'm doing, and I want you to be a part of it. And to be part of that purpose, one has to know how that redemption is to take place. What's the plan? He can't set you apart for His holy purpose and not telling you what it is. But He says, if you'll come in My Sabbath and dwell in My time, I'll let you know. This is why the Sabbath in this passage is plural. Sabbaths. And what to do... I already covered that. Move on. I got all outside of my notes here. Because see, here's the thing. All that truth, see, is all spelled out and it's right in front of you. But I'm saying, I never understood this for years after I was already keeping them. Because you cannot understand this truth without first keeping them. And this is a hard thing. Because I've had a lot of pushback on this over the years. When I talk about the Sabbath and the holy days, the one thing I always say is you can't understand them without keeping them. And then, no. Yes, because that's what God says. And He's saying it right here. And we cannot allow philosophy, human philosophy, to talk us out of this. Empty deceit. That's what Satan uses. The only way to know and understand the Sabbath and the holy days and all that they reveal is to be obedient and keep them. Otherwise, the truth behind them will remain closed. Again, the sign belongs to those that keep them. Okay, so I'm going to move on, but before I do, I think I'd be remiss if I didn't continue to read here in Exodus 31. I'm going to continue. We're in verse 13. I'm just going to read on from the very next verse because God just continues to hammer. Think about all the things that we've just covered and just realize that He doesn't just state it here in a little thing. He kind of keeps going with it. He says, "You shall keep the Sabbath. Therefore, it is holy to you. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. For he who does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among his people, from among the kingdom of God." And listen, this isn't him saying, "Oh, here's the punishment." No, he's revealing a truth here that he's wanting us to come on his Sabbath and be and attached to that vine. And we have to understand from a spiritual level that when we detach ourselves from that, we're detaching ourselves from the source of life. What he's saying is, I'm not going to come out and kill you. What I'm saying is, when you detach from that vine, what's going to happen to you that I don't want to happen is you're going to just diminish. He says, "Work will be done for 6 days, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath, he shall be surely put to death. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout your generations." There's that doe again. "As a perpetual covenant. For it is a sign." See, he just keeps at it. "Between me and the children of Israel forever." For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. I am God, I'm your Creator. And when He made an end of speaking with Him on Mount Sinai, He gave Moses 2 tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. So yeah, God's serious about this. It's reiterated over and over so we wouldn't miss it. Remember Him as Creator. Remember Him as Redeemer. Obey Him. Why? Because there's blessings. It's knowing Him. It's being set apart. Knowing Him and knowing what He's doing. Having our habitation in the kingdom of God. Having the sign of that kingdom. There is so much wrapped up in this Sabbath command. He wrote it with His own finger. And He says under this new covenant, I'm going to write it on your heart. And I submit to you, if you will read it with the finger and let Him write it on your heart, that it will be written on your heart, that it won't be a command, that you will rejoice in it, you will love it, you will do it not because it's a command, because it's become part of who you are. It is no way, shape, or form a burden. It is one of the biggest blessings God has given us, and that is because it is access to the source of life and all that it entails. And guys, we're gonna enter into this next couple of messages that I hope is going to even blow this even bigger. I can't talk about it right now because there's too much that has to be, foundation has to be built. But I'm going to tell you, the Sabbath is tied to what is literally the reason you were made. And your eternal destiny, purpose, and reason for existence. It is that core. And it has just, it's blown my mind. Guys, I hope that the net result of everything that we have covered in this series illustrates really just the bottom line. And that is this, that our Creator, Yehovah, the God of this universe, the Creator of time, has reserved some of that time for Himself. The time contained within the Sabbaths are sanctified by Him. Man cannot sanctify anything. This time is set apart for His holy use. Observance for the citizens of the kingdom of God is commanded and is not to be cast away through argument, philosophy, or empty deceit. For those that will obey the command He has issued to observe that time, He sanctifies. He sets them apart for His use and makes them a citizen of His kingdom. It is part of His covenant. It is part of that agreement that He has with His people. And honoring the Sabbath is that mark. It is that distinguishing sign of that citizenship. There are great and precious promises and blessings for those that will humble themselves before their Creator and obey Him. The opportunity to engage in that walk of obedience comes through the death, burial, and resurrection and work of our Savior, Yeshua the Messiah. It is through that grace that He provided that allows us then to walk in concert with Him, according to the ways that He has set forth. When I was praying this morning, and I'm going another trail, but I've often talked about the white robe of righteousness that God puts over us. When we come into the presence of our Father, He cannot dwell with anything other than light, because He's light. He's perfection, and He can't dwell with anything less than that. And so we must don that robe to be able to be in His presence. And that robe, underneath that robe, we know what's under there, don't we? So the response to that is to say to Him when you're there, God, help me. Help me in my weakness. Help me in my frailty. To now I understand that this is not my robe. This is your Son's robe. And it's by grace that I wear it. I don't deserve it. I don't earn it in any way, shape, or form. But God, help me to walk with this robe on in a way that befits the One that gave so much to provide it. And one of the first things that He says to do in that is to come to Him at His appointed time. He did it at creation. He did it with Israel when He pulled them out of Egypt. The first thing He gave them, before even the Ten Commandments, He gave them the Sabbath. And He did it to test them to see if they would obey Him or not. And as God's children, that test is no less on us than it is them. So I'm going to close with this. In every conversation about the Sabbaths of God, the next thing that always comes up is, well, how do I keep it holy? What am I allowed to do? What am I allowed not to do? So I'm going to close with some thoughts about that and try to make them as brief as possible. See, the problem with addressing this issue is that most times the wrong question is asked. If you ask what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath, then you open it up to what the Pharisees did. You start making all sorts of lists and legalistic rules about the Sabbath, and therefore taking something that God means to be a blessing and a joy and reducing it to a burden. And I'm going to say to you, everything I can find in the Bible with respect to how to keep the Sabbath is all about resting in it and communing with God, to putting away the physical and looking to Him. I invite you to go read Nehemiah 13. In Nehemiah 13, they stopped all commerce in Jerusalem. Why? Because that commerce was it was on their mind. That's what they were doing. And you can't, you know, Nehemiah says, well, look, it's not that this is just some great command. It's just that, listen, this is impeding what the purpose of the Sabbath is. It's not about providing for or thinking about your physical needs, wants, and desires, but rather leaving that behind and drawing near to God. So we're going to close the gates. We're not going to let that in. See, it's a metaphor. It's a picture. It's also a very good idea, but I'm not going to set that out there. See, the Hebrew word for work, when we look at this, when He says don't work, we need to understand the depth of that. Because again, Hebrew has a lot of depth. It does mean to stop engaging in your occupation, of course. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond that. Because what it means is it's talking about your physical and your mental exertion to provide for yourself, regardless if it's for compensation or not. And I just say that because it just points to the principle. Because the deeper question here, guys, is not what is unlawful to do on the Sabbath, but rather, what does God want me to do with this time that He has set apart? Because indeed, if you're able to shut out all the stuff, like we've talked about, close the mind off to work and your ambitions and goals and desires and all that, and really and truly enter into this time, you won't need a list of things not to do, because God will be there and He will be giving you a list of things to do, to think about. Ask God to fill your mind with Him on His Sabbath. And as you commune with Him, it will just naturally flow. If you understand what I'm saying, then you'll realize you don't need a to-do list from me, because you'll be getting that, you know, a not-to-do list from me. You'll be getting a to-do list from God. I don't know. Maybe that's not a very good way to put it. I'm just saying from personal experience, and that's all I can draw on, is that I know the difference. I've played Sabbath a lot in my life. And I have kept the Sabbath and didn't come close. And I present to you that it is a weekly thing. That there are times where I do keep the Sabbath. Where I do come away at the end of that day saying, "Thank you, Lord, for this time." Listen, all I can tell you is this. At the end of a Sabbath, you and only you know if you've kept it or not. Because if you have, you will be refreshed. You will be energized. You will have spent the day with God. You will be enlightened about Him. You will have rested in the fact that all the things that consume your mind through the week are set aside, and then when you re-engage them, they all look different. But if you come into the Sabbath on Friday night and you're like, "Oh boy, okay, I gotta finish doing, before I can't," you're missing it. Because once you have experienced the Sabbath, once you have come through it and have experienced what I'm talking about, you are going to yearn for it the next week. You will approach it on Friday with eager anticipation that this rest, this communion is coming. And one tests to see during the Sabbath, where am I at? If you're thinking about what time it is so that you can get back to what you're doing, if you're already compiling the list and how you're going to start as soon as that sun goes down, then you're not there. And listen, I'm preaching to myself. This was hard stuff for me to put together. This was hard words. It's hard words to find. Because I can't stress enough the tremendous blessing that this is and how much Satan wants to keep it from us. And when you're honest with yourself, when I'm honest with myself, my heart grieves the amount of time that I have let Satan win and has taken from me that which God wants to bless me with. I don't know how else to say it. To everyone here and to anyone listening to this, understand that your enemy does not want you to commune with the Father on this level, on His appointed times, with what He has designated here. Because by doing so, you gain something that is priceless. You gain the promises that are contained within the Scripture. You'll begin to know your Father better. He will show you great insights on His plan of redemption, and He'll begin to use you for His glory, and Satan does not want that. There is only one way to truly understand what is presented in this series, and that is to step out on faith that God, what the promises that God says here, that He will be faithful in delivering if you will step out and honor His Sabbaths. Draw near to Him on His appointed times. And I promise you, on the authority of God's written Word, that Yehovah, the Creator of this universe, will bless you in it, and He will draw near to you as you draw near to Him. So I say to you, make it special. Look forward to it. Plan for it. Bring out the good dishes on Friday night. Light some candles. Make a division from this set of time to this set of time. Think about how you might fawn over an honored guest coming into your house. You'd set out the dishes. You just fawn over them when they come in. You would visit with them. You would eagerly bring them into your home. That's the Sabbath. Think about stepping into an eternal dimension that separates one time from another. Come and ask God to hang out. I'm going to close with one last scripture, and I'm going to ask everyone once again, I want you to go, as I have, as my wife has, as I think probably most of you already have, but do it again. Go in prayer with this scripture and ask God personally to explain to you what it means. I'm not going to. I put out to you that if you enter His time, and you come to Him with what He says, that you don't need me to tell you how to interpret this scripture or whatever. This is the if-then scripture that I talked about earlier. Hear His instruction, because it's to you as a child of Israel, as a member of the kingdom of God. Hear what He says here. Isaiah 58. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and if you will call the Sabbath a delight, a holy day of the Lord, honorable, and shall honor Him, not doing your own ways or finding your own pleasure, speaking your own words, then you will delight yourself in the Lord. There'll be relationship there. And I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. In that means all the promises of the covenant of God given to the children of Israel. I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob your father. The mouth of the Lord has spoken. May God bless you, keep you, and may Jehovah let His light shine upon you. Shabbat Shalom.